Hello, and welcome to Writers Group Therapy.
I'm Tom.
And I'm Roshni. We're writers helping writers with whatever writing ailments you might have.
Whether it's related to your craft or your career, we can help.
Are you ready for your session?
The doctors are in.
Tom, I'm so excited. Today we have a very special guest. His name is Paul Graham, and he is the owner, founder of, and lead writer at Dusk Wave Arts, which is a multimedia art company. They've got several IPs out in the world already, including the webcomics The Glove and Criminal King, and the video game Delphic, with some other webcomics and video games currently in development. Full disclosure, Paul is also my boss. This is the company that I am a staff writer on. So, Paul, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, we're so excited to have you. Yay. All right. So we'll get started with the whole, how did you get started in writing?
Well, I was wondering what's the best way to get my ideas down. And I always wanted to tell stories. So it was just something I started with as a kid. But it took a very long time because of technology, actually. I have horrible dyslexia. And so I couldn't learn how to spell to save my life. So I actually started writing when voice-to-text technology got good enough. Before then, I had to use scribes. Other people had to write for me. And that was a little bit funky because there was some translation stuff, some jump-in-the-gun note-taking. That's really how I got started on writing. And in high school, that's when technology finally got good enough. And that's when I began writing The Glove.
Oh, that's so cool. I was just thinking when you're talking about having like scribes write for you, did you have them all under NDA? Or did that matter?
No, like being a kid, right? So I have a very weird, interesting backstory because of my learning disabilities. But yeah, my mom made a school in order to support me. And so I had aides actually being able to write things down when it comes to assignments and homework and stuff.
Oh, that's cool. Gosh, I wish someone would do my homework for me. Just kidding. I know they weren't doing your homework, but Wow, that's awesome. And so now here you are running Dusk Wave Arts, which I think, did it start during the pandemic or it started before?
Oh, it started years before.
Okay.
Yeah, it started back in 2014. I was starting to make the plans and the groundwork with Raymond. He's kind of the guy that had the brainchild for Delphic.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so when I graduated college, I think I only spent 1 month off and then started this company.
Oh my gosh. Because I think we met in 2020 when I came on board to do a voiceover for The Glove. So that was my first introduction into Duskwave. But I didn't realize you guys had been already.
Was the game your first project or were the comics? Which came first, I guess, the comics or the game?
Technically, the game. Technically the comic came first. Yeah, it was The Glove. Because the version that I have now is a reboot of the one I created in high school.
Give our viewers a quick log line
our
of
viewers.
What The Glove is.
Our listeners.
what your stories are about. What's The Glove about? And what's The Criminal King about? That's your other comic that they can see online.
I want to throw Roshni under the bus just for fun.
Oh, no. How well do I know what your stories are about? Paul, yeah. That's horrible.
You should know me by now. I love doing that to people.
That's true. That's very true. Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh. Okay. So The Glove, which I think is probably, if I remember right, you said you won an award for it. So we'll have to talk about that one. That's probably more your personal project, isn't it? The lead in that is Tim, an autistic teenager who gets a glove that gives him magical powers. And he discovers that there's a bazillion gloves out there in the universe and multi-universes, but he kind of discovers he's able to wield extra powers. And so chaos and adventures ensue. That was a very odd log line. And Criminal King is more a steampunk fantasy. It's a straightforward political intrigue drama. There's a lot of different factions going on. But you've got a princess who wants to, she's kind of like Jasmine, actually. She wants to break free from the molds and be her own person. You've got, we never did decide, is it Ladin is the other main character? We never decided how to say his name. I think it's Ladin. I should know.
Everyone knows. That story is public domain.
But you've got Ladin, who's supposed to be the criminal king, which is a prophecy about an underworld leader. So, yeah.
Yeah.
And then other things. I'm not very good at log lines for your properties, apparently, Paul.
I think close enough. They kind of get the general vibe. yeah, just the gloves are extremely rare in the glove universe, actually. I think there's only like 6 of them. And there's just a few realms, but the audience doesn't know how many realms there are. No, wait, we said it back in like issue 4. Yeah, there should be like 6 or 7 realms.
How many episodes, how many issues are there?
Currently, I think issue 10, part 1 will be coming out or relaunching pretty soon. We have drawn up to like halfway or beyond halfway of issue 12. And then we're writing issue 14 now, as Roshni knows.
So cool. I feel like me asking this is a loaded question. I don't know if you want to ask it, Tom. But you run a writer's room, and I know you've had many writers come through your doors. How do you pick people for your writer's room?
So I kind of look at a little bit of their pedigree and not too much of like, oh, have you have writing experience? Sure. And then I bring them on board. But besides that casual way, I try to find, you know, good dynamics, right, with me and them and the team. It's been kind of changing over time, but I try to find people who have at least some experience or some kind of knowledge to have ability to analyze fiction, right, one way or another. So that can be as simple as a course that they took or et cetera. Since usually I start off with a bunch of new writers, I think, Roshni, you're like one of our most experienced ones.
That's not saying much. I don't feel very experienced at all. Thank you. I appreciate that.
I will discredit that statement because I am editing her 4th novel. So she is a very prolific writer, actually, since she's writing those every year, it seems.
I know. I'm trying to catch up. I like how she does such a good job with the audiobook as well.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. Still somewhere on like, I have 3 hours left of book 3. Yeah.
Hey, that's pretty far out. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, I'm going to start getting impatient for the next one.
October.
Oh, nice. Okay. Audiobook October?
Hopefully, if I can get other projects done in time. Audiobook might be December, but we're aiming for October.
Okay. I'll wait patiently then.
I was wondering, so I've read your bio about you being neurodiverse, and you talked about your dyslexia, having issues with that growing up. And what people might not realize is these comics are actually multimedia audio enabled stories that you can read online, and they actually get narrated on the webpage. You can kind of like, just like you're reading a comic book where you read bubble after bubble of the talking, you can actually click on the bubbles and even the sound effects, and it plays the sounds and the audio so you can follow along. Was that done specifically to address the needs of neurodiverse readers, or is it just because you thought it was cool? Or both?
Both. It is very specifically tailored towards me, and I'm hoping that that's something that will be accessible for multiple people and hopefully for everybody. But yeah, when I was reading web comics, sometimes I just struggled, right? I have this terrible dyslexia. And I just kept on thinking to myself, if I could click it and hear it, because during high school, technology was starting to get better, where you can highlight words and the computer can read it to you. So then I'm just like, why can't I have this feature just for webcomics? And then that kind of roller coastered into the idea of doing voice acting and making everything sound good. So yeah, that's really important.
It does make the production process longer, doesn't it, though?
It Does and doesn't at the same time, because we've figured out, I think, interesting ways on how to make it work and stuff. What took the longest time is optimizing the technology, because our technology was very unoptimized, and now it's better. And hopefully going forward, it's going to get better and better and better.
It's pretty unique how you have it set up to do that. Do you have any like patents or anything on it, or is it just off the shelf kind of stuff other people created?
I don't know if anyone can answer this, but we did hire a company to make it, so we're the owners of it. I don't know any official patents or anything like that.
Well, maybe you should.
No,
it's really cool though. Yeah, it's very cool.
I didn't even know that. That's awesome. Wow.
Yeah, we were jerry-rigging, what was it? Not Webtoons. We were jerry-rigging, some kind of template, Weebly, I think. And it just was not working. The loading times were way too long. So we just had to build something from scratch, from the ground up.
That's awesome. Because I don't really go on Webtoons a lot, but I don't think it has an audio feature, right?
I heard they might have background music, but we're really hoping that they don't try to piggyback our idea and that we can find this.
No, that we know what Paul's doing right after this call. He's like, hey, Raymond, so patent. Now, so let's kind of delve into a different... Well, actually, no, go back. Because I want to talk about how the glove got started. Because I remember you and I talked off podcast, and I thought you said that the reason it got started was because you had won an award, correct?
No. I don't think I won an award for it. I'm sorry.
Where did that come from then?
Probably came from something. I'll try to figure it out in the future. But I know that I came up with the glove actually when I was really, really young. And my cousin did draw a comic of it, and I lost it, which breaks my heart. But yeah, I think I was like maybe 10 or 12, probably younger. Yeah, I still have the original glove somewhere. I used to pretend this glove gave me superpowers. And then kind of had the idea, you know, fade into the background. And high school, that's when I brought it back from the ashes. I had better understanding of what it meant to be autistic and stuff, and I was figuring that out. So I'm like, hey, why not make this into a video game? And then my mom said, that's not really plausible right now. Maybe a comic book. I'm like, okay, I'll try that.
Speaking of video games, because you guys also did do Delphic, and I know you're working on other properties, that's very different styles of writing. And I know there's two different teams, but like, wow, you know what I mean? How'd you decide that this was a good idea to go into video games and the comics, because it's so different?
I'm going to answer the question a little bit later, but at DPC, there was this woman who started her own gaming company, right? And she was very invested in everything, but she tried to get herself less invested into the company to avoid burnout. And what she did was write comic books. So apparently video games and comics is not really that far apart for some reason. I don't understand the logic of it either. But going back to answering your question, though, the comics was a more accessible way to get my stories across with the abilities and the technology and the connections I had. I just knew my end goal was to make video games, right? That was the big thing, because I think that's the pinnacle of writing. So I didn't really know how to do it. I was just going to figure it out going through fire like I did with comics. I tried taking some courses here and there. I took one course, but I tried listening to GDC presentations and all these things and tried to figure it out, and then hired writers in the video game industry to learn how to do that. So that's kind of how that whole process began. But I always liked the idea of interactive media. Right. And I do think that's like the pinnacle of what media and art can be.
Well, what kind of game is Delphic, like format wise and story wise?
So format wise, it's real time strategy. So So you have a group of units, you can control them very individually, very specifically, or you can mob swarm. If you're good at mob swarming, we had one person in our company just broke in the game because he was so good at mob swarming and the rest of us could not do it for some reason. But yeah, that's kind of the general combat. You have very specific abilities. You can go into cover, not into cover. It's very tactical. But in the story, it's about a world where business rules, right? So like the very first, instead of like...
Not very different from our real world.
Not very different from our real world. No, that was kind of the point of it, right? As a metaphor for corporate, you know, takeover and stuff. But it ended up becoming a huge war. And then only three companies were left and they became the balance. And then they became a, you know, dictatorship in a way, these three companies. But they're forced to rely on each other. But everyone else is living lives that are free, but meaningless because they can't get jobs because, you know, it's you're born into the companies or not, right? Or you get fished from one company to another. But if you're not doing anything for work, you have no resume, you never get hired. So in the story, you play as this ragtag group trying to revolutionize, you know, and break down the companies.
Wow. Have you seen my short film Reclamation? It's kind of a similar dystopia kind of thing.
I was just thinking that.
That Roshni was in my film Reclamation, which is about a company that basically owns everything and controls people and stuff. So yeah, we have similar minds. How weird.
Delphic was kind of weird. I do want to watch that so badly now, but
Roshni, we'll put the link in the show notes. So
we'll send you the link. Yeah.
Yeah. It's still out there to watch too.
All right. Excellent. I'm wondering if I can like download it on iTunes and watch it on the plane. But yeah, it would be great though. Well, what was very interesting is that, the story was originally supposed to be drug cartels, actually. So with talking with Raymond and stuff and making it more video game, that's when we started going more sci-fi and started building up the world of Delphic. So yeah, it took a very weird direction because originally it wasn't supposed to be that. It was supposed to be like the drug cartels kidnapped your daughter and now you have to go and save them with the crew, and that's what the game used to be called until there was a game that came out called The Crew.
Oh.
And like, oh, we have to switch gears.
Yeah. Does that game star Arnold Schwarzenegger by any chance? Because he always does that in his movies, goes after to save his daughter from the cartels. So
I thought that was Liam Neeson.
Well, him too. It could be any of those guys. Yeah. Arnold, Liam. Cool. But sounds like fun. The game is out now, it's available. Or is it still in development?
It's an early access. I don't know if I should say this, but I'll risk it anyway. it was a. It didn't do very well, so we shelved it. So we were planning on finishing the game, making the game. We got it out in early access. We're like, okay, we'll work on it for a little longer, but it just was not well received. And we just pivoted and switched gears.
I've been there. I got a game out there that's kind of languishing myself right now. And you have to decide whether you're going to put the investment into continuing to develop it or go on to another project or come back to it later.
You never know, though. The market, it might not be what the market wants at that point, but maybe in like 4 years they're into that kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to tell.
Well, it was my first game, and my developer actually said, yeah, your first game is probably not going to do real well because you're still learning, you know, and it's just like writing. Your first script always is horrible. Nobody gets, you know, a deal on their first script usually. So it takes you a while to get into it and understand, you know, not just what your game is supposed to be in the story, but how the players are going to interact with it and how they're going to get involved in it and want to keep playing it. Where the concept was great, you know, we had this great concept for a game. Our execution, we had a few too many, you know, issues with it that it kept people from staying with the game. it wasn't, you know, it doesn't mean that the game idea is not a good one. It's just you have to, you know, be able to approach the players properly.
Yeah. So, and I know anyway. That on that note, but also, Paul, I know that you're managing multiple teams and you've got teams overseas. How on earth, how many teams do you have? You've got narrative, you've got the game development. Do you have any other teams that I'm not aware of?
The list is long.
Yeah, you're like always in meetings. Like, I mean, how do you, because you're, you know, you own the company, but you're also basically, you know, in TV terms, the showrunner on at least, you know, every IP, which we've got the two out right now. And then I know you're developing like, what, three more on the comic side, at least another game, you know, so you're show running multiple things. How do you do it all? How do you manage all that?
I have a lot of support. That's the only way I can do it, right? Because each other team has their own leaders. As you know, even though I'm the showrunner for a lot of narratives projects, right? I have Marshall as the lead for the narrative team, right? And then that's very different departments and functionalities. I actually didn't want to be CEO. That was a position I had to take, mm-hmm. right? Because I was one of the founders of the company. But it's a lot of support, getting a lot of really good people, right? Because you got Micah, who's the producer, and she's basically the lead of the gaming, you know. You got Wolf, who is doing the audio, and he's part of the audio department. The audio department is a separate department, even though it works with the comics and the games and everyone else. So we have a lot of overlap, and I think that's a strength in a lot of ways. Yeah, we have Ralph and Mars, who's kind of in charge of almost everything. Arma, who's in charge of the comics now. And that is kind of different from narrative because narrative is focusing on storytelling. But the comics division is also taking care of talking with August 99, not just the artists of the comics, but August 99 are the people who made the website.
So
she's in charge of talking to them, communicating with them, making sure that the website is operational, it's good, and it's being developed further and further. There's constantly updates on the website. I think every few weeks, months, 1 week, it's up there. So we have about, I think, five different departments in the company as a whole. Yeah. Comics, narrative, Mancom, which we really need to change the name of, audio, gaming. Amazing. Yeah, I think that.
Where did the name Duskwave Arts come from?
Oh, I just love sunsets.
Aww.
Yeah, and for me, they were always triggering of something mystical and important, right? And I'm just like, that's what I want, you know, our IPs to be about, right? Is that sense of understanding and greaterness, right? And inspiration. So that's kind of where the name came from. It used to be Beyond Ready Varts, but that's a mouthful. And so we changed our company's name to Duskwave Arts because it was a lot easier and it was literally the point of the name.
That's awesome. So what is coming up for the company that you're able to talk about? Because I know there's still some stuff in development.
All right. I'll pick my words carefully. We paused our big game that we are making next. We're going to go back to that for sure. That's stuck in the present. Psychological horror. It was going to be really cool, but we're pausing it. We're going to get back to it. But in the meantime, we had everyone in the company pitching ideas, right, for a 1 year development. So that means currently we have one idea that everyone estimated would be the best idea to make in that one year time. And we had another idea that was second tender. So we're taking a really close look between the two. And we're then going to pick, I think tonight, which game we're going to be making for the next year.
Cool. And on the comic side?
On the comic side, I'm just going to say JK for now, Rashmi, as well.
No worries.
Yeah, but we are trying to do a new development motto. You know, going back to the core of making games, right, is like fail fast. So we're going, finishing up making a pitch to people, the public, investors, so on and so forth, to support our new comic, JK, which is aimed more towards kids. And then the narrative team, as Rashmi knows as well, we're trying to finish up on solidifying the glove and Criminal King so that everyone knows where my wild head is going. But we're also putting down IPs that will be either future games, future comics, or both.
Very cool. And if people want to find Duskwave Arts or the comics or the games, where do they go?
So there's our website, duskwavearts.com. But the biggest thing for the comics is Comics with Audio. That will take you to all of our two comics so far. When it comes to the games, Delphic, we might have taken Delphic off of Steam. It might still be up there and accessible. Our older games, which I didn't get to talk about because Delphic was our first big game, our older app games are lost to time.
Oh, no.
Yeah. We did not renew them on the Apple Store. But hopefully Save the Runner, our first game, and I think like one of the best things we've ever made, even though it's really dumb and simple, we might make a remake of that. So we'll see how that goes.
Very cool. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Paul. This has been great.
I've been enjoying it. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the show.
Awesome. So for all of you guys out there, make sure you check out Duskwave Arts, and we will see you in a few weeks.